Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. The beginning of it was read by me in the proclamation last week, but it's the reading for today. So if it sounds familiar, it's not your imagination. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the heavenly parent has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Our second reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. These are our sacred stories. Thanks be to God. I heard an interview with Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield in 2013 on Fresh Air with Terry Gross. That interview prompted me to look up his videos. You can watch him in zero gravity on the space station, watch him brush his teeth and wash his hands. He shows how to wring out a washcloth and clip his nails. He explains the proper way to vomit when there's no gravity. He even explains what happens with your tears when they cannot fall. The videos are great. I recommend them to you. Those videos led me to a YouTube video of Hadfield singing Space Oddity on board the space station. You know that one. David Bowie made it famous. "This is Major Tom to ground control." I shouldn't sing it, but if you don't know it, you should look it up. There really is nothing like watching astronaut Hadfield playing guitar and singing about floating in a tin can while floating in a tin can. Hadfield is retired now, and while he's no longer in space, he's still making videos. He recently published a video on his personal YouTube channel entitled "An Astronaut's Guide to Self-Isolation." Isolation is something he knows a lot about. His longest mission was 146 days in space. In the new video, he shares a four-step process that astronauts use to handle the isolation of being on the space station, and he suggests that they can each be applied to our lives now. First off, he suggests that people do some research. Understand the actual risk. Don't just be afraid of things, he says. Go to a credible source and find out what is truly the risk that you're facing right now, you and your family, your friends, the people you care about. Second, he suggests that people can take a look at their goals. What are you trying to accomplish? What are your objectives? What is your mission for right now, for this afternoon, for this week? He asks. Third, he suggests that people address the constraints on these goals. Who's telling you what you need to do? What financial resources do you have? What are your obligations? Fourth and finally, he prompts people to take action. Once you understand the risk and your mission, your sense of purpose and your obligations, then take action and start doing things, he says. They don't have to be the things that you always did before. This is a chance to do something differently, something that maybe you've never done before. And then repeat these steps. He concludes, so take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of your friends. Take care of your spaceship. I wish everybody happy landings. So understand the risks. Review the mission. Know your obligations. And act. And then repeat. The disciples, as our lectionary reading opens, the disciples are overwhelmed by the risks. They're afraid, and they're having trouble remembering their mission, their obligations. They are not acting. They are locked away in fear. Fear is powerful. The disciples, the text says, are afraid. Some translations say that they're afraid of the Jews, and some say that they're afraid of the authorities, and some translations just say that they're afraid. If they're afraid of the Jews, the irony is that they themselves are Jews. Are they afraid of themselves? Did they see something in themselves that filled them with terror, with fear? The stories around Jesus' arrest and death show the disciples learning their own apathy. Could you not stay awake 1 hour, Jesus asks, when they're sleeping in the garden right before his arrest? Their own protectionism. I do not know the man, Peter shouts, denying that he ever knew Jesus. Learning their own violence. Put your sword back into its sheath, Jesus tells the disciple who cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers during the arrest. I imagine that the disciples felt guilty as they huddled in that locked room. Guilty because they knew they had abandoned the very one they held most dear. Did they whisper to each other, "What have we done?" And with more intensity, "What can we do?" It seems to me that in this moment in our shared lives, that we're facing such a moment for many. Some are now seeing, perhaps for the first time, that our society is thickly contoured by sedimented injustice laid down over generations. Grandfather clauses, segregation, educational inequalities, poverty that leads to population density, food deserts that require frequent travel, jobs once considered menial, now declared essential, inadequate testing combined with the realities of no work, no pay. The normalization of privilege is coming into stark focus as school systems struggle to feed hungry children, as people are losing their jobs and thus also losing their health insurance, as a check is sent that politicians believe will keep people going for weeks, but in truth just might be enough to cover rent for another month with nothing for food or medicine. We're seeing reports of the disproportionate care of people of color, racism in the ways health care is provided or not provided, as is most often the case. We're also seeing a rise in racist rhetoric and violence, especially toward those of Asian descent. And then, according to Upworthy, this past March is the first march in 18 years without a school shooting in our country. For some, these days of isolation have us asking, what have we become? And what can we do? My friends, we cannot get stuck here. There is risk, yes, and there is a mission. In today's passage, the disciples receive peace and the Holy Spirit. Their mission is to have life and to help others have life, and life is more than survival. At my request, the choir sang an old labor song made famous in the 1912 women's textile worker strike in Massachusetts. The song is Bread and Roses. This song, for me, describes the necessity not just of survival, but also of beauty and dignity, ritual, and the sacred. Jesus says to Thomas in today's passage, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And then, as the passage concludes, we read, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name." It's not enough to believe. You must live. As we go marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, our lives shall not be sweetened from death, from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. Hearts starve, the song says, that old beautiful labor song. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. We cannot go back to normal. Whether your eyes are just opening or whether you've been aware of the gross inequality, racism, and violence in our country for years, we must seize this time to create change. Sonia Renee Taylor writes, "We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was never normal, other than that we normalized greed, inequality, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature." And so, understand the risks, review the mission, know your obligations, and act. Part of our mission is to stay home if we can. This is an act of love. But surely another part of our mission is to see the risks others face and have been facing long before this pandemic began. Risks of food insecurity, risks of healthcare needs not met because of insurance problems, risks of multiple part-time jobs and no living wage, risk of isolation and abuse, risk that involve the health of our planet. We, as Jesus' disciples, are working for life, for bread and for roses. Hearts starve as well as bodies. How can we act? How can we work for justice and dignity? Earth Day is this Wednesday. While most of us have not seen the Earth from space, we are now seeing the Earth more clearly than has been possible in decades. Smog lifted from cities as never before. Mountains visible that haven't been seen in years. Ocean life returning. How can we work for justice and dignity? How can we act for ourselves, our families, our earth? Many of you are doing this work, some of you quite literally. Going into work to provide food for hungry seniors, going into work at the grocery store to enable us to buy bread. Singing and playing and sharing your videos on YouTube. tending the flowers and the vegetables at our Covenant Gardens. Bread and roses. Bread and roses. We're cooking food and taking walks. We're composting and recycling. There are risks. Let's make sure we understand them. The risks of coronavirus and the risks of returning to normalized injustice. Let's review our mission. Not just survival, but living and loving and thriving. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Let's remind ourselves of our obligations, what we need to do for ourselves and our families, our neighbors, and our world. And let's act. Let's work for bread and roses. Let's give ourselves rest and care and compassion. Let's help others. There are letters we can write, choices we can make with our money, words we can say. We are not alone. Peace and the Holy Spirit surround us. Let's breathe in these gifts and then let's work in the ways that we can to bring abundant life to all. Bread and roses. Amen.